to leadership, you need to ask the Lord for grace. Don't let the anointing make you to puff up. Learn. Find someone who can submit under. Don't be a rolling stone. Be someone under control. Someone who can yield to instructions. Are you a sister here? And you've had issues in time past. You are struggling for healing. This morning you can be healed. You can be delivered. I've met sisters that say, I can't trust no pastor anymore. You met the bad ones. But I'm telling the truth, there are still the remnants upon the earth. And they are all over. In every territory, there are remnants. In every ministry, there are remnants. People who still uphold the virtue of sincerity. You've been hurt before by a male pastor. You can ask the Lord for help to release that pain. To be healed of it. To be delivered of it. To be delivered of it. God can begin a work this day. Maybe this service was put together just for someone like you. That the Lord will bring you to a place where you are recalibrated. You are brought into the very crucible of the mind of God for your life. Do you want to pray and say, Jesus, I yield myself to you. Bring the new wine out of me. Make me a vessel. Make me an offering. Make me whatever you want me to be. Make me whatever you want me to be. Can you allow self to go? Grow that ministry organically. Don't look for shortcuts. Pay the price. Stay unknown. Don't look for visibility too early. Stay, labor. God has reserved your inheritance for you in heaven. He will bring it to you when the time is mature. Don't come out before your time. In the crushing, in the making, you are making new wine. In the crossing, I surrender. You are making new wine. So I look to you. But all you have given me, Jesus, bring you one. Let's sing again. In the crushing,
in the crushing,
in the pressing,
in the pressing,
you are making new wine.
You are making new wine.
Let it be your prayer from your heart. That new wine will burst out of your vessel. Take it beyond the song. This is life. This is what you were born to do. To live right. To be holy unto the Lord. Yes, somebody yield. Somebody yield. When you trust, you don't need to understand.
So make me a vessel. Make me a covering. Make me whatever
you want me to be.
You want me to be.
Lord, I came.
You gave me with nothing.
But all you have given
me. All you have given me.
Call his name Jesus.
Thank you.
The ministry of prophets is to function in the similitude of the children of Issachar, to interpret the meaning of seasons. God operates from eternity, but the administration of the things he does is consistent with calendar seasons of the Spirit. And the grace of God goes in the direction of the administration of God. So what God is doing in a certain season will determine the direction in which the grace of God goes. And if you are not in the know of such things that form the emphasis of God's administration, you are going to be outside of a major circle of God's empowerment, and your labors are going to be far away from the cutting edge. We must understand that humanity is not that powerful. In fact, without God, we are nothing. And if you know so, then you will labor to be in sync with God so that you can be a worthy recipient of his grace consistent with season. When God builds, he builds with grace. And it is very easy to know a functionary that is possessed of the requisite grace needed to implement the plan of God. Hallelujah. So my duty this morning, as I attempt to bring perspective, is to try as much as I can to interpret what this season is about. Amen. I will try. I hope I succeed. And so, Lord, we give you praise for the miracle that you granted every one of us to wake up this morning. And we are not even aware of the contentions, the battles, the things that took place while we slept. But it was in your custody that we laid ourselves to rest. And your faithfulness has manifested again as it has pleased you to raise us up to continue to be part of what you intend to implement in this time. Help us this morning. Let the sound of your Spirit reach the heart of every man, every woman, every boy, every girl, under the sound of my voice, and even those that will pick up these materials many days after this time, that the same currency of your investment in grace might be on the material to bring men into order, into alignment, as we labor with you in these end times to establish your dominion in every nation under heaven. Be glorified in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't intend to be out here for too long because of the meeting we'll be holding subsequently. But it must be understood that if you want to understand the future, there are seven windows that you have at your disposal. And if you do not know these windows, you are likely to make mistakes that there are evident patterns in history to have corrected you. Amen. I didn't hear your amen. Oh, I just realized that my Bible is dead. The battery that supports my Bible. That is also a sign that my talk will be short. So I will take us through a refresher and then I will hit the nail on the head, after which I will leave your way. First of all, if we are going to interpret the future, understand the future, know what to expect, then we must understand that life has cyclical components. Life has cyclical components. If you see the burden of the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. Okay, since my Bible is not here, can you give me my cell phone? I'll use the Bible on my cell phone. No, we're high in spirit. We didn't remember to charge the... Alright. So, the life is cyclical. And that's one of the burdens of the preacher in the book of Ecclesiastes. He says, the things which are, which have been, are the things which will be. That's the testimony of the preacher, indicative of the fact that life runs with a cyclical principle. So things that have taken place before are likely to manifest again. Just in case someone who was a president in the past wants to campaign to become a president in the present, he is going to do exactly what he did in the past. May the Lord give you understanding. So if a woman can go through her period in January, she's still going to go through it in February, and she can build a science behind the sequence of the reoccurrence of that event, because she can calculate how many days it would take for another cycle to begin. So if you are not careful, you will make mistakes that you can avoid because you are not aware of the fact that the future, part of the future, is governed by cyclical possibilities. Secondly, according to the book of Matthew chapter 16, I hope I am prompted by God to read that scripture. The next level of being able to discern the things that are about to manifest is what we call the signs. Signs. You see, when if you are a good student of your health, when things want to happen, like for instance, if a woman becomes pregnant, there are signs that her body begins to manifest, which is suggestive of the fact that something is living inside of her. So the Bible says in the book of Matthew chapter 16, beginning from verse 1, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came and tempting desired him that he will show them a sign from heaven. Now, this was what Jesus said. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Meanwhile, what I'm doing, these seven components that I'm trying to educate you on, is not my message. I'm just giving you prophetic education. When we are done with prophetic education, then I will now begin to interpret the times. But I see you are not interested, so I will stop at number two, signs. And then I will only talk about indicators that are suggestive of what the season holds that are tied to signs. I will stop there. The Pharisees also, with the Sadducees, came tempting, desiring him that he will show them a sign from heaven. Next verse. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. Where's my media man? Okay, he's not aware that my Bible doesn't have a battery. Okay, let me do my thing. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. This is Jesus using this illustration to teach us about signs. Jesus is saying that all of us in this place, without attending a geography class, know how to read the signs in the sky. You know how to know if it's about to rain, and you begin to take your journey. You begin to make your move because the signs are suggestive of rainfall. A woman takes in, there are signs, especially a woman that has taken in not for the first time, she'll be able to interpret the signs. There is nothing that happens without signs. The spirit realm litters signs on the membrane, and if you know where to look, you will be able to interpret, you'll be able to predict what is about to happen. If you are a student of the Bible, you will remember that before the rain came, the rain that was restored after the judgment that Elijah proclaimed, before the rains were restored, there were signs in heaven. And those were the signs that he was sending his servant to go and investigate and bring him feedback. And it came to pass when he put in the seventh unit of prayer, and it would interest you to know that the way that Elijah positioned himself in that prayer was the way women in those days were positioned if they were about to give birth. I went into the labor room and I believe for the last time when my wife was about to deliver. I don't normally stay because I will become the patient. I have a very low threshold of seeing pain in people. I can handle pain myself, but if I see it in people, no. I'm wired with compassion, and I didn't succeed to be in the labor room anytime my wife was to deliver because I might become the patient, but might need more attention than. Amen. So I saw the labor bed, and the design of our labor bed is a bit faulty because it is not consistent with the help of gravity. The way women gave birth those days was different from the arrangements that we have today. They were aligned with gravity, so gravity helped the process. I'm not a midwife, but I know gravity. And I know the alignments that are needed for you to use the energy of gravity to achieve any matter whatsoever, and childbirth was one of those issues that alignment was needed in those days in order for children to be born faster. than we have today. So I saw the labor bed. It wasn't synchronized with gravity. But the way Elijah was, the arrangement, the way he positioned himself in that prayer was as though he was about to give birth to something. It is that kind of prayer that is called a travail. It will produce something. So when we say you pray until something happens, the idea, I believe, that the person that came up with that phrase had is travail. But you see, well, let's not dwell there. But I just wanted you to know that the guy was travailing in a certain position, and because he was overwhelmed by that position, he couldn't be the one that was going to check the effect of what he was doing. So he had to send his servant to check the sky, because the impact of what he was doing was going to register in the canvas of the sky. And it came to pass that in the seventh time that the servant went to check, he saw a cloud that was in the likeness of a man's hand. That was a sign. You see, in the realm of the spirit, before something happens, signs are released. The reason why God releases signs is so that people, ancient and wise people, can begin to interpret. Not necessarily prophets, but wise people, ancients that have experience, will be able to interpret at that level. Meanwhile, the progression goes on. The highest level of possible prediction of the future is the gift of prophecy, but these are, you need all of them in order for you to be adequately able to discern the times and to function effectively as one of the sons of Issachar. Amen. So let's stop here. And let us interpret the signs of our generation. First sign. If we have time, I will make attempt to give you the next organ of possible prediction of the future. Are you there? Many of you here know CIA. You have heard of that before, the intelligence organization of the United States. But many of you don't know MIT. What MIT does is that they predict the future. And 70% of their predictions come to pass. And the predictions that they give is what forms the basis of the foreign policy of the United States of America. And that's the only way they've been able to hold sway in terms of global control for more than 200 years. No other kingdom has been able to maintain relevance for up to 200 years. The utensils that they are using to predict the future are not necessarily prophetic. You are not with me. They are signs. One of our soldiers who was an excellent military personnel was, by merit, he was selected to go attend a certain part of his compulsory training in the United States. He's one of the best guys we have in the military. So he's my friend. So he came back from the United States. And part of what he came to my office to deliver was the prediction of what will happen in Nigeria. That, watch this, this will begin to. So they trained him on how to make those analysis, interpolations. And the things he told me that were going to happen on the security level in this country have all happened. And it was not because the spirit of prophecy was at work, because these guys understand this other utensils and how to use it to forecast. I've said it, 70% of the prediction of that unit holds. Before what we are experiencing today as war in Ukraine, there were indicators, there were signs. The military people in our midst on thrones. And what I mean by thrones, I'm not talking about spiritual thrones. I know you are educated on issues of thrones and all of that. But political thrones. Because we understand from the scriptures that God is somehow behind who occupies what throne in what space. The person may not be his choice, but obviously he allowed the person to be in that space. If he doesn't allow the person cannot be in that space. Because the Bible calls God the governor among the nations. So there is nothing really that happens among the nations without the allowance, the permission of God. Okay? So one of the critical things that we need to look at are the thrones of nations. So every prophetic personality must be able to analyze what is happening to the throne of nations. It is a sign that is suggestive of what God intends to implement upon the face of the earth. And the golden throne of the nations, which happens to be the throne of England, which is normally or fondly termed the seat of global civilization. We lost the monarch. It would interest you to know, those of you that are geographers, that there is something called relative location and actual location. When we say, when we trace the location relatively, we need a landmark. For instance, the gymnasium hall is adjacent to the stadium. But you see, the problem with that kind of description is that if you don't know the stadium, then you cannot find the gymnasium hall because it is relative. But actual location is the location that is furnished by longitude and latitude. And if you're interested to know that longitude zero flows through the Greenwich Meridian, and that is why Big Ben is the clock. Those of you that have been to England, Big Ben is the clock that sets time for the whole world. If Big Ben is wrong, your time is wrong. Because that's the reference point for time. Alright? Longitude zero passes through Greenwich. It actually passes through Accra, but it's Greenwich now. It's called the Greenwich Meridian. Instead of it to be called the Accra Meridian, it is Greenwich Meridian. Because of the wiring of things, the throne that regulates that space is a critical indicator of sign to the nations of the world. And the moment the monarch fell, it was an indication of the fact that a major shift had taken place in the earth. Now, it will take us a lot of effort to understand the full scope of the implications of that shift. The falling of the monarch was just a sign that is suggestive of that shift. So if you can interpret the sign accurately, then you will understand what the significance of several things that are natural, as we may speak, hold by reason of their strategic placement in the scheme of things. So a shift took place. It is a shift of many things because that is the seat of time. So it's a shift of time zones. It's a shift in measurement. You see, there's a difference between time and timing. The Bible says that from the time of John the Baptist and until now, that is Are you there? That is timing. It's just like when a woman takes in, she conceives, right? Then timing begins, countdown towards 9 months. Right. You are not with me. That's why I prayed to ask if this was what God wanted me to say. Because if I notice again you are not following, I won't try anymore. I'll just forget about it. The moment the woman conceives, there is a countdown to 9 months. Timing has started. What do they call that watch? The stopwatch has started running. That's timing. From the time of John the Baptist. So John the Baptist is a reference. So the stopwatch started. That is timing. Alright? And there is a difference between timing and time. Time is the introduction to a new season. From that time, Jesus preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So you see, when time comes, emphasis change. When time comes, measurements change. When time comes, so many dynamics change. And if intercessors here can understand what I'm saying, there are some bricks that you may not be able to push as an intercessor. But when a certain time comes, it is possible for you to cross it. And that's why an intercessor must understand timing. So that throne sits on so many things. It sits on time, it sits on longitude, because that's longitude zero. And it will surprise you to know that what we call our budding as a nation was set up by that throne. The miscalculations that has played out in all the events that have taken place all of these years was set up by that throne. For those that are abreast with politics, you know the meaning of my parable. It is that throne that ordained the confusion that is bedeviling us at this time. And the throne did not ordain just our own confusion, but the confusion of many nations. If you understand Kenya, for instance, there were several ruling cycles that were set in motion by that throne. And for the first time in the history of that nation, it took the death of that monarch for someone outside of the cycle to become president of Kenya. As long as that monarch was there, it was impossible for that shift to take place. So there are political shifts, political possibilities. And it was also interesting to know that the throne that instituted our confusion has gone down. If any... Are you still with me? I'm speaking many parables here. You must be a keeper of proverbs to understand my communication. So that authority that set the confusion in motion has gone down, indicative of the fact that the power of that confusion has also expired. So when Apostle Gideon was talking about the fact that something can expire but yet be retained, there's a difference between expiry and for it to be taken away. So what we are saying right now is that there is the expiry date of the power behind the confusion has already been seen. So now the challenge, it means there is a window for intercessors that did not exist before. Even though we have been laboring before, the window that has been created concerning the possibility of our actualization as a people has never been created, at least in our own lifetime. It means that the day of the intercessors of Nigeria has actually arrived. And the things that will happen after this time out is going to be such things that the intercessors in this space have been able to
push. Because timing has reached ahead and now time has come. So you will hear scriptures like, "And thou shalt arise and have mercy on Zion," because the time, not timing, the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. So that is the scripture. That is the emphasis for the church in Nigeria. And there are several nations too that are in confusion, whose confusions are tied to that truth. Are you there? The moment that shift took place, the window of emancipation has been opened. But if intercessors don't pick the message and begin a campaign towards deliverance, towards salvation, towards redemption, that thing might have expired, but it may not be done away. Are you still with me? So the moment a new time comes, there are some things to look out for. First of all, we even need to even begin new prayer emphasis. Because the scripture I just quoted, Psalms 102 verse 13, I believe. Let's find it. Yeah, 102 verse 13. Now, this scripture that I just quoted is a prayer point. Have you seen it's a prayer point? This prayer point is occasioned by an understanding of time. It means that when a time opens up in the realm, the first thing that is supposed to be impacted, just in case we have an understanding of the potentials of the season that has opened, the first change we should see is that in our prayer emphasis. Thou shalt arise, the Bible says, and have mercy upon Zion, for the time to favor her. Yea, the set time is come. Are you there? Okay. I would like us to see another sign quickly. I think I'll stop on this second sign, even though the syllabus is quite vast. The second sign I'd like you to see is on your newspapers, your news items, global newspapers, global news items. How many of you saw the statistic that came up in the United Kingdom that suggested that the Christian community was a minority? How many of you? Did you get that? You know, Christianity came from them. And we cannot forget the efforts of men like Pastor Sidney Elton, who was a Briton that came from that land to bring us not just Christianity, but Pentecostal and apostolic prophetic Christianity. Alright? So, if you are privileged to stumble on any of his messages, he preached from an apostolic beam, making those messages to be as eternal as counsel spoken by God. So there is no time in the history of man that those messages are listened to that it will be relevant, because there was a plane from whence he spoke. Just in case, anybody here that has heard Sidney Elton's message, I think I have a few. You just need to hear it. You would think he's one of us now. And those messages were spoken many years ago. Okay, maybe that's difficult for you to relate with. How many of you have read any book from Watchman Nee? Now, there is no era, no age that comes that will invalidate the need for such words. Those were people that carried a mature apostolic spirit, and their admonishment was in the similitude of the kind of admonishment that came from men like Apostle Paul and Peter. That's the quality of work that came through their ministry. It is possible that you are a pastor here, and the way you preach messages that are only relevant to Kaduna, because maybe there's poverty, so your message is geared towards the problems that are domiciled in the territory. It means that if we take your message outside of that territory, it cannot speak to any other people group. And meanwhile, that is not God's intention for the kind of service delivery that is coming from you. It's just because you have a problem with conceiving God's vision, and that's why your ministry is built in a handicapped fashion that doesn't capture the full scope of God's heart cry. Now, are you there? Okay. So if you see the things happening in the nations, Christianity that was the pivot of everything previously is now largely a minority initiative. The meaning of that is that Christianity is no longer a powerful force in the West. And that is suggestive of a shift. If we want to see where Christianity has a stronghold now, we will need to shift our binoculars from the United Kingdom. We need to shift it from Spain. We need to shift it from Belgium. We need to shift it from the United States of America. And you will find out that the strongest stronghold of Christianity now is in the continent of Africa. You need to be able to study trends and patterns to come to that conclusion. You don't need to prophesy in order for this to be the fact. It is exactly the trend of the moment. If the stronghold of Christianity is in Africa, then it means that most of God's current investments are going to be in the lives of Christians on the continent. And because we didn't need to go into the spirit to discern this, Satan is also aware of this pattern. And Satan too is already putting infrastructure in place to corrupt the Christianity of Africa. I don't think a prophecy that revival is coming, I don't think that's a prophecy anymore. Because the patterns have suggested that the next possible break is going to take place on the continent of Africa. And that's what makes you and I strategic. And that's what will require that we do not hold a localized perspective, so that our resourcefulness to the kingdom of God can be broader than just a local resource person. Let me show you what Satan has done. Knowing that the next possible stronghold of the kingdom of God is now on the continent of Africa, he has done some investment. Are you still with me? You know, I told you what I'm doing. I'm not teaching. What I'm doing is that I'm functioning as an interpreter of season and time. The kind of thing that the sons of Issachar would have done. Okay? Now, in view of the fact that the African church has the potential to turn the tide, if we talk about missions now, what we mean in the context of our day and time is for Africa to rise up to that point of responsibility and now take the gospel back to the West. That's what missions, you know, those days missions meant some white folks coming to our community and then influence our people and all of that. And we thank God that that provision was made, and that's why we're here today. But in the burden of responsibility seems to have been given to us. And that must be the scope of our vision. That must be the scope of our comprehension of that which God wants to do. You will need a very rich sense of purpose and a very powerful security in Christ who is in you for you to consider yourself such an agency that can be used to reach back to the people in the first world and to make them obedient to the faith. So part of the things that Satan did through the poverty that he has invested in lavishly on the continent of Africa is to diminish our sense of self-esteem so that in the day of our destiny, not so many of us will have the right complex to conceive the vision of going against the tide to do the will of God. Hallelujah. So these are the days where we need to teach people to have security in the workings of the Christ on the inside of them. Because Paul says, I can do all things through Christ. His sense of complex was a function of his understanding of the ability of the Christ that was in him. Like I said, Satan has worked over time. One of the things he has done is that he was able to smuggle in diabolical people into ministry space. When I say diabolical people, I'm talking about people that use influences and spirits other than the Holy Ghost. So the name of what is called prophetic right now in Africa is a little bit different from what Paul the Apostle called prophetic. I've taught again and again the fact that the closest relative to the prophetic in the demonic world is the use of the spirit of divination. I've done a lot of teaching on that matter. I don't want to dabble into it again. Now, but unfortunately for us, people that use the spirit of divination have come into our space, and many of us have rejoiced that they are prophets of God. The implication of that is that, number one, that has led to a state of an all-time low in discernment. Number two, there is a very strong move no longer to make the Word of God our standard. For instance, I was preaching holiness, sexual purity, and I preached it with vigor. And a certain minister somewhere in this country reached out to me and said, hey, where are you going with this, your holiness preaching? Because in my city, 8 out of 10 pastors have a concubine. Now, even if that is the case, is it your city that is the standard now? Now, you see, most of us don't even understand the level of decline and the reason for the struggle. You are not with me. Do you realize that if you want to preach the truth in a situation where departure has been accepted, your message of truth will sound in the ears of men like rebellion? Do you realize that if you stick up your head, that you are going to be a voice of truth, even your life under this, because of the corruption, your life is in danger. As it is written in the book of Isaiah chapter 53, that he that speaketh the truth maketh himself a prey. So, if you are not ready to lose your life, you can't preach truth now. Because Satan worked over time to ensure that our standards are lowered, to ensure that people accept a crippled and a measured possibility in the Christian faith, to ensure that our concept, our standards in terms of morality are so low that they don't measure up. God, who will never, he's too holy to behold iniquity, cannot, because we are a church in Nigeria, now have to be compelled to cope up with our backsliding and camp with us in that mess. So a lot of ministers see people like us as dividing the body of Christ, when what we are doing is providing witness in order for the move of God that is becoming ripe for the continent to find a passageway in the hearts of men. Such men that can translate the desires of God into manifestation. While I've said all of this, is the first thing I've mentioned that is a critical line of labor now is intercession because of time. Did you get that? Second thing I'm emphasizing right now, because of the shape of things, is that the preaching of holiness, I mean blazing holiness, must be restored. Blazing holiness. The moment you begin to preach blazing holiness, you are going to have problems. But those problems were foretold. Because people will believe that you want to wreck their ministry because they have secret things they've been coping with and all of that, and the ministry is still going, the finances are still in shape, and now you are preaching holiness and it doesn't matter how much ground the devil has gained in the compromise, in the corruption, in the deception. Doesn't matter how much ground. What is coming and what God is setting you and me up to begin to do is to begin to reclaim real ground for the kingdom of God, because God will not change his mind about the continent of Africa. So diabolical men were brought into the scene and they were highly celebrated. And because of the low level of discernment quotient globally in the body of Christ, such men even made some of the most choice magazines of apostolic and prophetic people, and recognition from all quarters were given to such men that were operating with diabolical powers. And you may not know the influence that these people wielded. Some of these people never acknowledged that they were born again. Never. They didn't even lie about it. And it was deliberate, because what they were trying to do was to establish a new order of priesthood where it is no longer by Jesus. You can be big without Jesus. You can be influential without Jesus. You can be powerful without Jesus. And it will interest you to know, it will surprise you when you see the statistics of people that are now pattern their ministry and their lives after that order of performance, after that order of stage ministry. Lying wonders, lying miracles. Those were investments that Satan made to ensure that the body of Christ sinks in the hour, in the time of our destiny, in the day of Jacob, that we will be afflicted, will be outnumbered by falsehood, and the possibility of our star rising will be cut short. Second investment that Satan made is that a lot of people became preachers without being trained to handle the Bible. So we have messages preached that have no Bible reference. That was a time when motivational preaching was now accepted in the body of Christ. So instead of discipleship, what we had for over 20 years was motivation. And motivation was according to points. Point number one, point number two, point number three, point number four. Can you check the ministry of Jesus and study your Bible? Jesus never preached by points. Check it. So motivational preaching was open-ended, was utopian without foundation. And it started making waves in the body of Christ. And that's why there's no depth left. Because most of it is cerebral. Public speaking. Theatrics. Customer care. Customer service. Marketing. And that's what ministry became. Became marketing, management, and customer care. The real labor of discipleship was totally taken away from the kind of education that believers will need to be adequately nurtured. So God doesn't have sufficient foot soldiers to power the revival. And that is why the revival has tarried, not because the time has not come. Number three, investment that Satan made was that he cast aspersions on the ministry of deliverance. And a lot of people began to teach that it is not possible for someone that is born again to have demonic problems. I don't want to start a teaching today. I've been doing all of that. I don't want to start a teaching. I'm just telling you about the times. Okay? So aspersions were cast on the deliverance ministry. Meanwhile, there were four streams of Jesus' ministry. He preached, he taught, he healed, and he cast out devils. And Jesus spoke more about demons than he spoke about angels. Because you can't say, are you with me? Now, a lot of us do not understand that man is tripartite. Man is not a spirit. Man is tripartite. Are we in agreement on that? Or I need to do some Bible study to show you that man is not a spirit. So that man is a spirit is one of the things that were smuggled in to accommodate sin. Because a preacher in Nigeria once said, "You are not your body, so it doesn't matter what you do with your body. You are not your handset. You are not your microphone. It is your spirit that is saved. So your body is like your handset." You know, and all of that. So, these things were meticulous. You are tripartite. You are spirit, soul, and body. That's what the Bible says. And the authority that said you are not a spirit is Jesus himself. You cannot be more revelational than Jesus. According to the book of Luke chapter 24 verse 39, it's Jesus that spoke. So this guy has refused to, okay, work with me. Alright, Luke 24 verse 39. Luke 24 verse 39. Not 29, but 39. Three, there is three in it, and then there is nine. Because at some point we needed to say it's not two, it's three. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it's I myself. Handle me and see. Behold, you can behold me because I occupy space. You can handle me because I possess matter." And the three dimensions of our frame of reference is space, matter, and time. This activity took place in time. And Jesus, this is with his resurrected body. He said, "Behold me." He said, "Handle me." Why? Because a spirit had not flesh and bones as he see me have. This is Jesus speaking. You know, our reference point is no longer the Bible. It can be good talk. It can be intelligent talk. Meanwhile, the Bible has its own logic. Our convictions are not Bible-based. A senior preacher came to the pulpit and held the microphone and said, if Mama made it to Hilton, you will get there. Now, what was that? If Mama. And everybody was excited. Some of us wept. Because he did not grow by the word. He only grew by prayer. So he doesn't know the word of God. People can be healed in his ministry and all of that. But that's all that can happen. There is no hope of maturing. And the devil set up most of the service deliveries that were available were in that fractured state. Because he was eyeing our time that we will be without competence in our day of destiny. Are you with me? It was Jesus himself that said, you are not a spirit. And there is no scripture in the Bible that says you are a spirit. Because the Bible is not capable of private interpretation. You can't make it. It's not possible to make the Bible say what it is not saying because we have one author and many writers. Hence, the principle of witness is the principle of establishing the true position of the thoughts of God. And the principle requires that at the mouth of two or three witnesses, every issue of controversy shall be what? It was no longer the Bible. So when you confront people with the Bible, they no longer tremble. They can still hold on to their ways in spite of the position of the Bible. The word of God has lost its authority in our midst. That was one of the investments that Satan has done so that our efforts will be futile. You do what you do, you can get a car, you can build an auditorium and become a bishop, but it doesn't affect the agenda of Satan. Satan is saying, I don't want you to stop what you are doing, no. Just do it in such a way that it doesn't affect me. So where are the disciples to Christianity in the past 35 years? Why do we need to use a spiritual microscope to find somebody that can be a leader, that can represent us in the political space? If it is true that our investment has been in the form of capacity building and discipleship. Discipleship is not talking. Preaching is not talking. Preaching is pronouncing the ideals of Christ so that his administration can have his way in our life. It's because the Bible was no longer the standard. That's why leaders of ministries became as immutable as God. People that get endorsed are people that are morally bankrupt. There's no standard in Christianity in Nigeria. From the top to the bottom. No standards, no values. Those days, if a man is caught up in persistent sin, he is taking off the pulpit. Just like you can't keep driving your car if the tire is deflated. No matter how powerful the car is, you will need to jack it. Remove the tire. And work on, not the engine, work on the tire. And inflate it before you restore it back. Inflation cannot take less than 6 months. Spiritual inflation. That is the saturation of God, so that God is no longer leaking out of your system. And his concentration can be so intense that it is easy for you to be quickened. Sin is treated with levity. Young men are hopping around looking for endorsements in places where the people themselves have nothing to give. If you have been privileged to attend sessions in heaven, you will see that people run into darkness. Some of the people you celebrate don't have a good name in heaven. Why? Because that's the grace. That's what we're trained to see. We're trained to succeed. To prosper. That's the hallmark. That's the indication that God is with you. So we can do it with diabolical power. We can do it with manipulation. We can do it through pictures. Doom! That's it. That's the trial. Satan invested before our time. Some people no longer believe in the philosophy of due process, laboring under the mighty hand of God until the day where he decides to exalt you, like he did John the Baptist when he was in the wilderness, but his was traveled into the palace. Satan invested in so much that miracles were being faked, because it's all about performance and managing public perception. That is why our enemy has been so strong. It's because we ourselves have not walked in the ways of our God. So the evidence to show that we are not in alignment with God is that our enemies have been fortified over us. And that's the story of Israel. Every one of us that is a minister of the gospel needs to go back and check what you are doing. Is it true that this is what Jesus requires of you? Or are you trying to gain visibility by all costs, by all means? Senior ministers in my city came to me and said, "We have wasted. We can't allow you waste. Leave this thing you are doing here. Go and set up in Abuja. At least, my friend Gideon, he can give account of my life. He knows everything that I'm talking about." I went back to Jesus, and Jesus said, "The reason why I planted you here is to deliver you from corruption. That there was a wisdom behind my positioning. May you not promote yourself if Jesus has not promoted you. May you not move, change location when Jesus has not changed you." One of the major labors we'll need to engage in is to enthrone Jesus again. Jesus doesn't have a throne in the body of Christ anymore. The monarch must be enthroned again. He has been exiled long time ago, and performers have taken his place. I speak as a man that has experience among the nations. I can tell you about ministry in Africa. I can tell you, I speak from experience. We need to build his throne again in the body of Christ. You'll be amazed. The quality, the dimension of ministry that is coming in our time is not what you have seen. Oh, Jesus will have a voice again. They will have a voice. Men will tremble at the voice of Jesus in the days to come. Those are the days when if you kill any one of us, you will see the judgment of God break out like a plague. When the church is accurate with Christ, take one out, take one. Jesus will appear himself. But when we are living in compromise and in iniquity, it goes for free. We will need to build a throne for Jesus again in our city. We will need to plead with him to come back. Come back from the wilderness and take the center stage of our activity. We will need to trust him to purge us so that we'll live out the example of blazing holiness. So that people will not be afraid for their daughters to be part of your ministry. A woman came and sat with us for 9 years. It was after 9 years, she told me, "I will bring my daughters now." 9 years. 9 years. He watched me for 9 years. To see if I was a cannibal. Prey on anything that is good looking. Do you realize that the message of the cross is not, that's not what it is. It's how to package and to talk nice. The gospel of the kingdom is not nice. It's a gospel that requires submission to a king. Your life is not according to your own will, it's according to his will. In walking with him, you die to your will, you die to your ideas, you die to your wisdom every day. It's not nice. Sometimes you will be crying as you are dying. But that's the way our ancestors walked with him. That's what made their prophecy to span across the ages. They spoke with the same power that the voice of God has. The question is, are we ready for this trip? Because it is time. We no longer have time for half measures and side talk. Because we are already in. This is no longer a dress rehearsal. This is destiny now. My time is up. This is how much we can take for the moment. But we are going to pray. Just one prayer point. Anything you need to do today so that Jesus can come back, that's what the prayer point is about. Can you come back? Can you come again in the midst of your people? For the Bible says, for where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Do you know what it means for him to be in the midst? For God to be in the midst. Return, return. Return, return, that we might look upon thee. Return, return, that we might look upon thee. Return, return, that we might look upon thee. Come back to your hiding place. Come back to your fortress. For your people, they seek the brightness of your glory. They seek to look upon your countenance again. You've been away for too long. Many have taken your place. They have spoken lies in your name. Can you return? Can you come? Can you come? It is now a fantasy. Church is a fantasy for celebrities. Your glory has been forgotten. And the danger is that a generation grows. It's rising without seeing the temper that travels with your glory. Return that we might look upon thee. Return. 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 Return, for Africa is your nursery. It is the ground from whence your will must germinate in these times. How can we grow without knowing the true intensity of your glory? Return that we might look upon thee. Many there be among us that were clothed with glory and used the glory for corruption, for immorality. Many are wounded in our camps. Many have need for rehabilitation, not by the hand of demons and darkness, but by the very hand of the instruments that have been raised in the house. Return. That we might look upon thee. That we might look upon thee. That we might look upon thee. Raise puritans. Men that blaze with the fire of holiness. Forthright. With no tolerance to iniquity. Voices that speak truth. voices that speak your mind. Yes, men that are willing to expose themselves so that your voice can be heard. Return. Return that we might look upon him. That we might look upon him. Let sin die a natural death in our companies. Yes. The power to choose Jesus over and above lust, desires of the flesh, strengthen us with the much needed masculinity to stand for you as witness in our time. Return. Return that we might look upon you. That we might look upon you. Let a new order of apostles, a new order of prophets, men that can have authority to speak, and creation will hear them. Return. That we might look upon you. That we might look upon him. That when we look at the city of Kano, an apostle of God begins to rise, whose voice is not bought, and there is authority to back up that which he says. When we look at Kaduna, we begin to see prophets. Men that when they speak, the land will tremble. Oh, return that we might look upon him. Govina seki de kedobonde puska velamo abakade isusanahandali. Nothing could stop the voice of John the Baptist in the wilderness. Nothing could stop the prophetic voice of this hour. Oh, I am Oseli. Yes, the women intercessors, lionesses in the spirit, rising up with much grace, with much ability, with much authority. Sons of Issachar that understand the time. I know what Israel ought to do. Fiery evangelists that can make the heart of sinners quake under the vengeance of God. Return that we might look upon him. It is our time, oh God. It is the set time. The day of actualization is here. So, Lord, we ask that you might return. Return with your splendor. Return in your glory. Return in your excellency. Oh. Oh. Let Satan have something to make him afraid. Ah. The lionesses rising from the middle of nowhere. Women that have power with God, that can move the hand of God, Oh, return, return. Our daughters cry. They seek your face, oh God. Change the story of every man, every woman crying to you this moment. Raise the instruments. Weapons of power. Weapons of grace. Oh my God. So we say, lift up your heads, O ye gates of Nigeria, and be thou lifted up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory will come in. During the coming elections, let money fail. Let propaganda fail. Let manipulation fail. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. Lift up your heads. Oh, ye gates.
Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus. Return, return, O Shilamite, that we might look upon thee. Return, 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 return. Return, return. There are some people in this house who are wounded. There are some that wound. Both of you return. You that wound others. You that have been wounded, return. 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 Return for healing. 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 Return for healing.
In the name of Jesus. The era of the Puritans are here again. And God will judge with fervency the iniquity of the sanctuary. He will judge it with fervency. Once again in the house of God, he will be known by judgments. Because before he can bring judgment to society, he would have established the same level of order in his house. If you are here, a minister of the gospel, and you have been exploiting the ladies that the Lord has brought for you to pastor, and you really want to repent of it, you can come to the pulpit. We have 21 seconds for this part of the service. God wants to show mercy. So if you are willing to own up, he will help you. For 21 seconds. If you
you are willing. Okay. If you are not willing. As we labor to restore the throne of the monarch, we must not only love righteousness, we must hate wickedness. I see people in the congregation that have committed abortions not too long ago. You can join them. This is what it takes to restore his throne in our midst. So that once again, we can have such authority, such power to change the landscape for his name. I still give 21 seconds to those ladies. Those ladies, your time is past. Let us pray for our brethren. The Lord seeks to restore the tabernacle of David that is fallen, and to restore its glory and its beauty. Let us pray for our brethren. That the Lord will have mercy. Like it was for Isaiah when a coal of fire was taken and their iniquities were purged. Let it so be today. Let the ministry of accusation that Satan has used to trouble their soul come to an end. Oh, you are not praying. It's obvious you don't love them. Body in a way that the accusations of the devil might be cut off. Look kindly on your servants. Strengthen them beyond the promptings of the flesh. Let the stranglehold of lust be destroyed. Let the yoke break.
Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name. Some of you will need to go and apologize to some of these people. Ask for their forgiveness. So that your standing with the Lord will be so strong. If you are humble enough to do that, He will give you strength. Achieve that even before this evening meeting, make a call, ask for forgiveness. God will anoint you even this evening. Strengthen your people. Release grace upon them. Let your hand never leave them. Because they came out not exalting self. Exalt them indeed. In the name of Jesus. Amen. God bless you.
There was this young man after the service yesterday. He blanked out when Papa called out that boy or that person that had a bangle. So he said he blanked out completely. It was after the service that he realized that it was me. And he met Pastor Ben Maggi. He's a young man here. Told Papa about him. Young man, are you here? Please come. Just go straight to Papa. So this is the young man. So come first, come. Tell us. So Papa said there's a bangle, right? So tell us the experience.
I was into online scamming, so I met this senior of mine. He said he would put me through the stuff. I was not like, I've done it myself, but I'm not getting any money out of it. He said I should not worry, that I should just go and get some things. So I went to get Facebook and Instagram. Then he asked me to give him 7,000. He's going to give me a bead and a candle. That I'll have to put the bead inside the candle and burn it. Then when I'm burning it, I should be chatting any client I tell to send me money. He will not hesitate to send me the money. So I did that. Then after 2 weeks, I just had feelings that I should stop because my mom told me to stop anything fraud. So I just stopped. Then when Pastor talked about the thing yesterday, I did not remember early. It was late when Pastor had started preaching. The thing now came to my head that he gave me a bead and a candle. And the bead, they cut the bead small, small, small. The candle also was, he had a cut on the candle. Then since yesterday night, I could not have get myself. I was just thinking of the thing.
If Jesus is going to return to our midst, blazing holiness must be restored. If as a preacher what you want are invitations, you want popularity, you are not even worthy of Jesus. There is a glory coming. There is a glory coming. There is a glory coming. I'll rest my case on that. Come. So where are the beads? Meanwhile, did you make the money? Let's find out if you made it.
No, sir.
So you didn't make the money. There's a glory coming. And the Lord wants to raise foot soldiers to herald His kingdom. It might interest you to know that one of the major features of ministry in this day will be deliverance. Not unbelievers. The deliverance anointing is going to be heightened. There's a lot of cleansing that will be going on, and God will be using genuine ministers to administer that cleansing and to expel devils that have come through compromise, through immorality for so many years. Strengthen yourself. Because great things are upon us. And the Lord will need your hands to do this task, to accomplish it. In the name of Jesus. There are other things that I don't have liberty to share in public. But I will pray if the Lord will grant us permission. Hallelujah. Can we pray for you? What's your name? You want to make money? You want money?
Yes, sir.
Me, I want Jesus. You want money. When I'm working with Jesus now, he gave me money. You looking for money will never find it. So change your request. What do you want?
I want Jesus.
There's a difference between prosperity and materialism. One of the things we have not done in Bible labels in Nigeria is that we allow excesses. And we boast about our excesses. The Bible speaking about Joseph, when he was in prison, the Bible says, and the Lord was with him and he prospered. So can you define prosperity with that scripture? What's prosperity? Your car. That's what someone that is of the bondwoman cannot get. Did they come for your services before they bought your car? Our scale of measurement is so low, so something happened to us. The Lord was with him and he prospered. If that guy was looking for material gain, he would have slept with Potiphar's wife. She would have arranged for him. But he would have done that at the expense of the Lord was with him. He would have compromised the presence of God to do that. All he would have had are material resources. But the moment the Lord, if your decisions accommodate the Lord, you can never be disadvantaged. Even what people create around you to become disadvantaged, that was what he was in prison. He was. So there was something at work on his life that your greatest cruelty on him will not translate to your intention. Even in prison, he was there as a big man because the Lord was with him. Meanwhile, it was because the Lord was with him that they did not execute him. If not, you slept with your master's wife, a high chief. No, he should have been executed. But the Lord was with him. That was why there was the jail option. He now took the Lord. That Lord was with him. Was what now moved him to Pharaoh. The Lord was with him. The recommendation he gave as a technocrat, after interpreting the dream, his contract was to interpret the dream. He interpreted and then gave them the solution. They were not paying for that aspect. They said, who else can do this? He got employment because the Lord was with him. Pharaoh stopped everything administrative in governance. Pharaoh was a political figure taking selfie around Egypt. The guy that was ruling was Joseph because the Lord was with him. How many of you have read your Bible? It said, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not fear. We need to review the message of prosperity. We need to teach it again. Because what was taught was materialism.
self-centeredness, vain pursuit. Vain pursuit. That's why our pastors cannot be relevant outside this country. Take them to Europe. They don't have what to teach. Because people were not trained to walk with God. I want Jesus. Jesus gave me a car, gave me cars. Jesus has provided what I need to go around preaching the gospel. So in terms of ministry, I have all it takes to do the will of God. Not because I met a politician. Jesus. People ridiculed me that my level of idealism doesn't exist anymore. And the only outcome of my pursuit will be poverty. We did not cheat. We did not manipulate people to give money. We were not in league with ungodly politicians. If you want to win by righteousness, it takes time. The reason why it takes time is not that God is not omnipotent. It's because God will train you to be able to handle it. His emphasis is you, not the things. The true crown of kings will begin to come back. You will find, you will see men with authority. You will know God has come back. Not. You will see. Can we pray for him? Ask Jesus for mercy as you kneel down. Ask him for mercy. And ask him to come into your life, to forgive your sin. Ask him to write your name in the book of life. Tell him that you want to serve him. You will not serve money. You will serve him. So Lord, as a congregation, will break the spell of his life. The power of the candle and the power behind the bangle. Set him free. And we ask that your mighty hand rest upon him. Let him serve your will. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Please allow us to all stand. Papa, Mama, stay on your seat. Let us pray for our Father. Let's ask. No, Papa, you can sit down. Please, let's pray for our Father. Pray for our Mommy. And let's ask the Lord to uphold them. Please pray. Those online, please pray for our Father. The work is just about to begin in the earnest. Nations have been calling. Nations have been waiting. This voice, the voice of one crying in the wilderness and saying, prepare ye the way. From the city of Kaduna, we bring our quota of prayer. Please pray out loud. Our quota of prayer for preservation. 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 If you love our Father, please pray for him. If he has blessed you, pray for him. For those online, we are praying. Please pray with us. Drop your prayers. Type them. Pray for Apostle and his dear wife, Mama. We pray for them. We ask for increase. This voice, nothing. We shut this voice. Nothing. We shut this voice. Nothing. Not even death. Nothing. We bring death under the feet of the cross. That life, he will receive life, regeneration, even in his mortal body. He will be younger in experience. He will be younger. He will experience that every organ of his body, everything about his life, will be renewed afresh. As he grows older, he remains fresh. He remains powerful. The Lord give him strength. Let his voice never lose this punch and power. May it never lose this punch and power. Increase him.
Increase him. Increase him, O God. Increase him, O God and Mama. Increase them. Increase them. Increase them. Keep them safe. We stay the hand of Satan over their life. We stay the hand of Satan over their lives. And we declare no weapon fashioned against them, no weapon customized against them prospers. They are coming in and going out is preserved. The moon will not smite them by day, by night, nor the sun by day. No arrow flying shall meet them. We pray for our parents. We ask, O God, with long life, good health, you will satisfy them. And daily your mercies shall be new over their lives. Thank you for the gift of Papa and Mama. Thank you for the gift of these in our generation. Thank you. Thank you. We give you praise, Lord. We exalt your name. I will pray for Apostle Gideon Odoma also. He had been a blessing to us massively. Lord, we pray for preservation as he travels this morning back to Jos. You take him safely. We pray for preservation. We pray that you increase him. We pray for fortress ministry. As their name is, so they will be. Many will run for safety. Many will run for help. Many will run for mercy. Many will run for discipleship. Many will say, this is the house of the Lord. Come, let's go. It shall be a fortress, a fortress, a fortress. Fortress, fortress. The wounded will run. The saved will run. Men from nations. We hear the voice from Jos. Men from nations, we hear the voice from Jos. As the church in Kaduna, we sow our seed of prayer into fortress ministry. And we ask, oh God, may it be a fortress indeed. Come on, Kaduna, pray one more minute. Pray, pray. Pray for our parents. Pray for them. Pray for them. Pray for these ones God have brought our way in this time. These ones who are showing us the way of the kingdom. Lord, preserve them. Apostle Gideon's wife and children, we bring you into this prayer. We preserve you by this prayer. We say, Lord, go ahead of them. Bless them. Bless them. Bless them. With what money can buy and what money cannot buy. Bless them, O God. We, their children, say bless them. Bless them. Bless our parents. Bless them, O God. Bless them, O God. Your voice will never be short. Father, we give you praise. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Respectfully, we allow them to walk out before we follow them. This service continues this evening by 3 p.m., not 4 p.m. From 3 p.m., prayers start. Come on time. It's a healing night. It's the last night. After tonight, Papa is leaving. So we come ready with our hearts open to receive from the Lord. May your garment be white and may your head not like oil. In the name of Jesus. See you at 3 o'clock. Shalom.